you've heard of Dr. Bob Mellamy? Do you know what
he's
doing?
He's been in many of my favourite movies.
Yeah. So, you know, you might know him just as well as I do. But, yeah, endocannabinoids, ladies and gentlemen, cannabinoids from within. They build everything in your body. Everything.
If you didn't have them, you would be dead. And that's the exact same molecule that the cannabis plant naturally produces.
And isn't that the same molecule that these muffer frackers are trying to patent?
That is correct. So, well, there are 60 known, possibly more now, variations on the cannabinoid molecule. So they are patenting specific variations for use in specific medical conditions, whilst at the same time denying that cannabis has any medical benefit, thereby enabling them to schedule one it in their drug control regimen. So with one side of their mouth they're saying no medical benefits, with the other side of their mouth they're talking to their patent lawyers to make sure that you cannot use that particular molecule for your own benefit without going through them and paying them a tribute.
Hold on a second. We own this molecule that has no benefit. So if you want any benefit from it, you can't have it yourself. You've got to come and pay us in order to give you the benefit from this molecule, which has no benefit.
Exactly.
That makes a whole lot of sense.
And you know the applications, they're only just starting. We have David Nutt commenting on our medical segment about the fact that the cannabis plant has more medical applications than any other plant, and that there's an entire tranche of research that has been suppressed, never got done, was never authorized, they wouldn't supply the substrates to conduct the experimentation and the investigation into all the medical benefits that are still to be discovered because the cannabis plant was illegal to do these experiments for the last 40 years. That's one of the greatest tragedies of all, because there would be hundreds of diseases out there that we would have cured, or we would know that cannabis can provide palliative care for these diseases had we been allowed, or had the scientific world been allowed to conduct the research. Another cost of the drug war.
That's if you're keen on not enduring huge quantities of human suffering and profiting greatly by it.
True. Oh, while we're talking about endocannabinoids, and Vinny, you mentioned that they're one of the substrates to build your body and to actually keep your genes healthy and functioning. Your cells healthy and functioning. Endocannabinoids are present in your mother's milk. They are in breast milk, and they are there because one of the side effects of ingesting cannabinoids is that it stimulates appetite. So the little baby is getting a natural dose through the breast milk to stimulate his or her appetite, to encourage her to eat the breast milk to grow healthy and strong. So, you know, the idea that this molecule can damage a child's brain needs to be investigated seriously, because if it could, why over the millions of years that we've evolved, and primates have the same mechanisms as well in their breast milk, are we feeding our tiny infant tots it naturally? So during that stage of the brain development, it's probably a necessary part of growing up and Here's the irony. A woman in, I think, New Plymouth was found guilty of child abuse because they detected breast milk with cannabinoids in it and charged her for intoxicating her child. And this woman didn't go on the internet for 5 minutes, or her lawyer didn't go on the internet to find out that the charges are themselves completely bogus, because even if she had never smoked any cannabis in her life, cannabinoids would naturally be present in her breast milk. So the charges are basically fabricated. Probably she was smoking cannabis, and probably she might not have been the greatest mother. And I don't know her. Don't know the case in too many details. Maybe she was doing something else, and the authorities wanted to book her on something, and they used this as an excuse. But Mother Nature would have laughed at this. If Mother Nature, you know, had been consulted, this would have been thrown out of court immediately, because every mother on this planet has given cannabinoids to her child if she breastfed.
Well, that actually does beg the question. Is smoking weed and breastfeeding your child a good idea?
They did a study in Jamaica to show that it doesn't really have a high impact.
Of course they did, if it was done in Jamaica. How did I know that?
I don't buy that. I don't think it's advisable. And I think that people should have more respect for their unborn child to take a chance. So, but we know, though, that the effects of alcohol on the unborn fetus and the effects of cigarettes are traumatic. If there are effects from cannabis, they are less obvious. So, but don't take the chance, you know. So what if the research hasn't been done? If you are pregnant, don't ingest anything. Don't ingest coffee. Don't ingest any drug. It's possibly going to harm your child, so don't do it.
I think that's fair enough. But then again, I've heard a lot of other studies as well coming out that saying that there's these thresholds or something like that.
Yeah.
That there's small quantities of usage. Say, like, for example, a pregnant woman can get away with like a glass of wine per night or something like that in order to be. And then everybody's really kind of like thinking everything's really soft and squishy, but
I'm sure
the body's
glass
really, really good at making stuff safe once it's ingested to a large degree.
To a large degree. Well, take the old a glass of wine if you're pregnant theory. Alcohol is toxic to every cell that it comes into contact with. So some of that alcohol is going to come into contact with your baby's little brain. That's for sure. It's not all going to get filtered out by your liver. Some of it's going to make it to your baby's brain. What quantities are acceptable? I'd say you don't want to take a chance. So even though I've never been pregnant, I wouldn't take that chance, and it's unlikely that I ever will. But it's not something that you should do. Don't drink at all. Think about your child, respect your unborn child, and don't take any drugs. And I know that might be hard, and if you're going to have a chocolate now and then, it's got caffeine, and yeah, okay, that's okay. And, you know, maybe a glass of wine every now and then is okay, but, like, respect the unborn.
In that case,
respect the unborn.
When it comes to smoking weed, how young is too young?
I would say a safe benchmark is 20. And I discourage teenagers from ever trying it, although they will. And should they do so, they should receive honest education about the risks and how to reduce the harms and how to not use it repeatedly. Because I have met people who do use it too much, and there are impacts on them in later life. And those can be obviated by regulation. You know, those can be reduced through sensible policy. The Just Say No approach that Ronald Reagan and Nancy Reagan gave us. Yeah, they can't even keep a zero policy within their own families. You know, the Bush zero policy within their own families. The Bush sisters are known to use pot, you know. So George Bush's own daughters, drug warrior George Bush, his own daughters don't respect his prohibition.
Probably because they know he worked for the CIA and was instrumental in bringing in most of the harder drugs.
Yeah, so comparatively, you know, what's a joint or two on a Saturday night? Yeah, you know, but Bush himself was a user, not just of, speaking of hard drugs, not just of marijuana and alcohol, but of cocaine. But he was young. I was young. And folks at home, that means that what I did back then when I was avoiding the Vietnam War is okay, because it was the 70s.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the 70s, the only decade known to man from which all behavior during that decade is excusable, because it was that decade.
It was the 70s.
You napalm people, bro. It was the
70s.